I hope that you have been enjoying this series on clearing the clutter that we've been this beginning of the year. So we've done clearing the clutter from our schedule and from our mind and from our heart. Today we'll talk about our spirit, and next week we really get in your business, and it's our space. And so as we finish up, remember that next Saturday from noon to 5 and next Sunday, you can just bring it with you to church. The HAM truck, Humble Area Assistance Ministries truck, will be in our parking lot ready to receive and recycle your clutter. So I've got a little pile going in my closet. I hope that you do as well, and probably need to do a little more decluttering this week. Today we'll be hearing, as part of some interviews that we did earlier, from Lauren Santerre. She's a member of our church. She's also a spiritual director, and so I invite you, let's meet her.
Well, my name is Lauren Santerre, and I am a recent business entrepreneur starter of a business called Sacred Spaces by Lauren. And my goal is to help people to connect to God in their spirits and their homes, and I really believe that the home is such a central place for where we connect to God. So I'm a spiritual director. And just really love to be with people in the holy moments of their lives and to help us connect to God and be intentional about that connection. My background is in nonprofit, and spent many years doing some nonprofit work and being a part of the community in that way.
You'll find more information about Lauren in the center section of your bulletins or her bio, and then on the Grow and Go sections of your bulletin, you'll also see some more information about her business and ways to reach out to her. She's actually here this morning. Lauren, wave your hand. Good morning. Is it weird to see yourself on the screen? Yes, yes, it is. You know, many times we may think of ourselves as physical beings capable of having spiritual experiences. But I've also heard it said that, in fact, we are spiritual beings right now having a physical experience. And the truth is that we're all one integrated whole, mind, body, and spirit. All of those together form who it is that we are. We find in Genesis chapter 2, when God is forming humanity, the beautiful creation story, when God is in the garden and forms humans right out of the dust of the earth, they're formed but not yet breathing until God breathes his spirit, breathes his breath, the same word, spirit and breath, is ruah, into the human, and they become living. It's that divine breath in us that, that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about our spirit. It's that part of us that is capable of intimate communication with God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, what Paul says about this is that God's spirit speaks to our spirit and testifies that we belong to God. Our spirit, that part of us, is also the part of us that is capable of worship. Jesus in John 4, 24 reminds us that God is spirit, and that those who worship him in spirit and in truth. But our spirit, our soul, can also become cluttered, can also become distracted, or in the words of the psalmist, and this is one of my new favorite words, disquieted, disquieted. In Psalm 42, 5, the psalmist says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me?" And then the psalmist gives the remedy for the disquiet spirit or soul. He says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. My help is from God." So how about you? Have you ever had a disquiet spirit? I have. A spirit that becomes cluttered. Sometimes it can become cluttered with fear or negativity or grief or hopelessness or even anger or vengeance. You know, we can't avoid pain in this life. Let me say that again. We're not going to avoid pain in this life. We live in a broken world, and we are filled with broken people. We can't avoid the pain, but we can learn to recover from this disquiet spirit. Sometimes our spirit becomes disquiet or cluttered just because there's too much noise. Well, there is so much non-God-related chatter that there is going on inside of us that we wouldn't be able to hear God's still, small voice speaking to our spirit. My experience has been that God rarely is willing to compete with all those other noises for our attention. God wants us to willingly open ourselves to his presence. Reminds me of the story that you find in 1 Kings in chapter 19. It starts with verse 11, and it's the story of the mighty prophet Elijah. It may be a story that may be familiar to you. Elijah was a mighty prophet in his day. He spoke truth to kings and to queens and to the people and called them back to worship of the one true God. He was a very mighty man, and miracles came about when he was around. But in that piece of the scripture, he is feeling completely alone and completely bankrupt in his spirit. He is on the run from the king and queen because there is a bounty on his head. And he's instructed by God to go and stand on a mountain. A mountain is one of my very favorite places to go to encounter God. There's something about being way up high in a mountain, right? That just is a spiritual experience. Is that true for anybody else? Okay. Is it true for anybody back here? Thank you, choir. I appreciate it. The other favorite place is the ocean. Okay, there you go. So those are the places that for me. So Elijah told to go stand on this mountain to encounter God. And as he's standing there, a huge wind, a boulder-breaking wind blows by. But God isn't in the wind. And following the wind, there is a massive earthquake, a shaking of the ground, a splitting of the earth, earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. Following the earthquake, there was a raging fire that went by, consuming all in its path, and God wasn't in the fire. And that was followed by the sound of sheer silence. And that's where Elijah's spirit was spoken to by God's spirit. Sometimes, friends, what we need to do is make the space so that we can really listen. Lauren has some ideas for us, even in the course of a very busy day, a way to make space to be able to hear this still small voice.
So I think, you know, you have to find those places in your life where you can just go and take a few minutes to breathe and just kind of reset, you know. So I think you'd be amazed at what can happen with 30 seconds of breathing or 2 minutes of breathing, and just kind of remind yourself what you're trying to do, who you're trying to be during that day. I really encourage people to choose a word either for the day or for the week, and as that be their focal point, you know. So if you are stressed out during that day, then just to kind of refocus and think, okay, what was my word for today? Did I want peace? Did I want to be a person of hope in the world? Am I trying to be calm? You know, what are those things? I even have a necklace that says grace. And so sometimes I wear that to remind myself to come back to God's grace over and over again through the day.
Something as easy as taking a moment to breathe, to make space for God's spirit to quiet our disquiet spirit, or a word. Lauren talks about having a necklace with the word grace on it. I have one that on one side is a cross and on the back side says courage. And sometimes that's the word I need. And so I wear that whenever I know I'm going to be walking into a situation that can provoke some fear in my life. But I want to look again at today's scripture, because Paul gives us some ways to unclutter our spirit, to deal with our disquiet spirit. If you've got your Bible with you, turn back again to Philippians chapter 4, We're going to be looking at verses again, 6 through 9. And so what Paul says first, do not worry about anything. Do not worry about anything. Leo Bascaglia says, worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only robs today of its joy. That is so true. Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only robs today of its joy. Jesus straight up told his disciples and tells us in Luke chapter 12, do not worry. He says, don't worry about your life or about your clothes or about your food or about your body, but instead to seek after the things of God. Trust that God knows what you need and that God loves you and will give us the things that we need, even as he does for the flowers of the field and the birds of the air. Paul goes on to say in our scripture today that in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Three big words there. So prayer, our spirit communicating with God's spirit. Take the time to pray. Supplication, naming our needs before God, not because God has a short memory and needs to be reminded, but because we have a short memory and we need to be reminded of the source of all of life itself. And so God invites us to bring our supplications, our wishes, our desires, our needs before God. And then thanksgiving, blessing and thanking God for being God. And the result of this prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, is that the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you need peace in your spirit? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Often, in order to do this, we need to find a space to do it, a physical space. And so Lauren gives us some ideas about that as well.
You know, I think that as we've been talking about being intentional about your life and how you want to structure your life and how you want to choose to be in relationship with other people, I think there's also great power in being intentional about our space. Dedicating a space and saying, this is an important part of my life. And so sacred spaces can look like a lot of different things. I have a chair in my bedroom that has my journal and my Bible and, you know, some books I'm reading next to it, and that's where I spend my time in the morning. But I think that it's just wonderful to have some kind of space in your home. It can be a closet. It can be part of your dining room table. It just depends on what, you know, what your life looks like and what your spaces look like. But I think that space is super important to us to have a place of grounding to go back to over and over again. And also to remind us that that is a practice that we're dedicating our time and our energy to in our life.
Later on today or tomorrow, the entire video of this interview will be available on our Facebook page and on our YouTube as well. But for me, this morning prayer time that she spoke about, this devotional time, it's really the best part of my day. Starting the day with coffee and Jesus, there's just not much better. To center my thoughts and to calm my spirit and to have my prayer time. And when I am too busy for this or think I'm too busy for this, my day is off to a really rocky start because I'm then going into the day under my own power, and that will not get me very far. It's often during this quiet devotional time in the mornings as well that I begin to get a whisper to some issue that I'm struggling with that is keeping my soul unsettled. It's like Elijah and this sheer silence. For me, God is most profound in those very opening moments of my day. Paul continues in our scripture today in verse 8. He says, and it's a big old sentence, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things. There is so much in our world right now that tries to pull us toward those things that are divisive, that are untrue or at best minimally true, that are ugly, that are mean-spirited. Learning to train our mind, which means we pay close attention to what we watch and to what we listen to choose to dwell on that which is true and honorable and just and pure and pleasing and commendable and excellent and praiseworthy. That will go a long way toward helping our spirit to be uncluttered and to calming that disquiet spirit within us. And then I love Paul's confidence in verse 9 in lifting up his own life. He says, keep on doing the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Can we say that? Because there are people and children and co-workers and students and friends that are, in fact, paying attention to us and how our life is going. And they are learning and receiving and hearing and seeing how we live. Do we lead by an example of an uncluttered spirit? One that God's Spirit has access to? Don't we long to? We'll be celebrating Holy Communion here in just a few moments. It is one of these wonderful times. We call it a means of grace. It's a time when our spirit is touched by God's Spirit in refreshment, reminding us that we are children of God, that we are His beloved children, that we are bound together by the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, Lord, this day we bring you our cluttered, our disquiet spirit. We open ourselves to you in a new way. We ask that you would breathe your divine breath into our spirits, that as we come forward for Holy Communion, that, Lord, we may leave the clutter of our spirit right here at the prayer rail. That as we leave this place today, we go so with a freed up spirit, ready to listen to and follow your leadings in our life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.